Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Menachot Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph at the very top of the Amud. About to look at Mishnah Hey, and this will be our final podcast of the seventh parak, and continuing with a description of actually how Menachot are made. Kol HaMenachot Ta'on Tu'unot Shlosh Miot Shifa Chamesh Miot Be'ita. This is in the preparation of the wheat kernels themselves, or as sort of part of the threshing, or of the dough. But 300 shifa is rubbing back and forth, and be'ita is sort of slamming it with the palm of the hand. Shifa or be'ita b'chitin, Tanakama says that they're done in the with the wheat kernels. He also remember about sake. No, they're done on the dough. So they clearly had a tradition about these things, and machloket about where, at what point these are applied. Kol menachot ba'ot eser. All menachot come in 10 loaves per mincha. Chutz v'nachma panim v'chavite kohen gadol, those are always 12. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says the default is 10. The two exceptions are lechem apanim, which is explicitly 12, and chavite kohen gadol, which we will see is inferred from there, is derived from there. Meir omer kulam ba'ot 12. He says the model is 12. Chutz v'chalot todah unzirut shehen ba'ot eser, and that is something that we will derive later on in the next parak. Tana, shaf achat uboit shtayim, shaf shtayim boit shalosh. How is it done? You do the shifa once and then boit twice. Do the shifa twice and boit three times. And now you've got three rubbings and five slammings. And do that 100 times and you've got your 300 and 500. Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah, am tuye va tuye chad. How do you consider shifa? Is it back and forth is one? Is that back and forth is two? My. And the answer is teiku, we don't know. Shifa ubi ita b'chitin, Rabbi Yosef b'atzeik, ibayelu b'atzeik v'lo b'chitin, does Rabbi Yosef mean that you only do it on the dough, or dilma af b'atzeik? Perhaps you have to do both. Toshma d'tanya, you have a slightly more explicit braita that makes it clear that he means only. Shifa ubi ita b'chitin, Rabbi Yosef omer, shifa ubi ita b'batzeik. It's only in the b'atzeik, in the dough. Kol menachot ba'ot, eser, except for those two ishtem esrei. How do we know that? Lechem Panim behediktiv beij, you can see the pasuk on the page, that lachma panim is 12. Chavite kohen gadol atya chukah chukah mi lachma panim. As you can see, both of them have the word chuk olam, or chukah, and therefore that connection has us derive 12 for the chavite kohen gadol, presumably 6 in the morning and 6 in the afternoon, and lachma panim is also 12, as we know explicitly. Now, kol menachot debaot eser esmanalan, how do we know that, at least according to Yehuda, what's his source for saying that the default is 10? The answer is Gamar Milach Meitod. The Lach Meitod that we know is 10, as we'll see in the next parak, and that becomes the model. Malal on Esraf Kan Eser. Ah, Valed Lach Milach HaPanim, but we have Lach HaPanim, which is 12, and why don't you use that as the model? Malan Shtem Esraf Kan Shtem Esrei. And now we're going to go down a very familiar path, which is finding points in common between two poles. Lach Meitod on one hand, and a regular mincha, and lechem apanim on the other hand, and a regular mincha, and see what a regular mincha is more similar to. It seems that lachmei todah is a more reasonable model. Shekein yachid, it's brought by an individual. Hamit nadev, it's voluntary. Shemen, there's oil in it, which is none of these true about are true about lechem apanim. Nifsal, it has psulina if it's left overnight. Lachem apanim is left there all week. Shaloba Shabbat, it's never brought on Shabbat, but Shaloba Tumah. You knew that was going to come along with it. It's never brought Tumah. As opposed to Lechem HaPanim, which of course is brought by the community. It is Chovah. There's no oil in it. There's no Psulina. It is brought on Shabbat. Actually, it is brought on Shabbat, and it's brought even if there's Tumah. Adrab, Lechem HaPanim Alameleph. We could argue the opposite, which is Hekdesh, that Lechem HaPanim and a regular Mincha are Kodesh Kadoshim, unlike Lachmei Todah, which are kodeshim kalim and can be eaten out in the city. Ulevona, there is no levona on a lachmei todah. Matzah, lachmei todah include chametz, and etzem. Both lachem apanim and a regular mincha are coming for themselves, not in, as a peripheral to a korban. So the answer is hanach nefishan. Now we have a simple statement, which is there are more points in common that we raised earlier between a regular mincha and lachmei todah than they are between a regular mincha and and the lachem apanim. We have this in Zvachim. If we hold from the hermeneutic rule that when you infer something via Gzera Shava, it can then become a Binyanav, then we have Chavite Kohen Gadol, who which we've inferred by Gzera Shavah, Chok Chok, maybe that could be the model for others. And why isn't that a good model? After all, if we still believe that Lach Metod is a better model, why? First of all, it's still coming from a regular person, like a regular mincha, just like Lach Metoda. Chatzain, the Lach Kohen Gadol is split into two, unlike a regular mincha and unlike Lach Metoda. Lepigul, there is a din of pigul that applies to regular mincha and to Lach Metoda. It doesn't apply to the two Chavitei Kohen Gadol because it's not eaten. Shalob Shabbat v'shalob Tumah. Again, a regular mincha and Lach Metoda are not brought on Shabbat or Betumah. Adrava, my Chavitei Kohen Gadol have melaf. And here there are more points in comparison, which is Isaron. Lach Metoda is more than that. Kli, it comes in a kli, like a regular mincha. Hekdesh, it's Kodesh Kodoshim. We already pointed that out. Levona Matzah, we already had that. Etzem, those we already had. Hagasha, Lach Metoda do not have Hagasha, and these two do. Ishim, they go on the fire. Lach Metoda, none of it goes on the fire. And now you've got more points in common with Chavitei Kohen Gadol. So if you would accept the principle, Devar Lamed B'Gzera Shava, Bav Chozer Umalamed B'Vinyanav, then Chavitei Kohen Gadol should be the model, and the default should be 12. The answer is Hedyot Mehedyot Adiflei. Rabbi Yehuda still believes, even if he would hold that position, he would have to believe that that which applies to the regular person, like a regular mincha, is inferred from that which applies to a regular person, which is Lach Metoda, and not Chavitei Kohen Gadol, who's a very special person. Okay, Rameir Omer Kulan Ba'ot Shtei Mesrei. So this will be actually easy, because why will Rameir say that the default is 12? So Micah Savar, Yisfer Le'Dovar L'Amei B'Gzera Shavah Chuzav L'Am B'Nyanav, if he holds from that hermeneutic position, so Yalv Chavitei Kohen Gadol, he'll learn from Chavitei Kohen Gadol, Dehanin Nefishan, because it has more points in common. Yisfer Le'Dovar, and he'll ignore the Hedyot Mehedyot issue. Yisfer Le'Dovar L'Amei B'Gzera Shavah Enoch Zav L'Am B'Nyanav, if he says Chavitei Kohen Gadol are not a model, then Yalif min Lachem Apanim, you can learn them from Lachem Apanim, and Hekdesh mehekdesh Adiflei, and the point that they're both Kodesh Kedoshim, for him is more significant than the greater number of points in common between Lach Metoda and a regular Mincha, this will trump it, and that's why 12 will be the model. Okay. Chutz mi Lach Metoda and Zeruchin Ba'ot Eser Eser, that we all agree are always 10. In other words, we always agree Lachem Apanim, Achavite Kohen Gadol are 12, Lach Metoda and Zeruch are 10, the question is everything in the middle, are they 10 or 12? Lach Metoda behed yaktiv behu, and we'll see that again in the next parak, that there are 10. Nezirut, why damar, shalamav, al zebach todat, shalamav, rabot shalme nazir. So Nezirut is seen as some sort of a subset or an extension of Lach Metoda. That's 10, so this is 10. Rav Tovi bar Kistam or Shmuel. And by the way, Lach Metoda and Lach Menazir have a lot in common, that they are lechamim that come along with the korban, and that they come in sets of 10. There's more than one set. So there are other points in common, but textually we find an allusion in the parsha of Lach Metoda of Toda to the Nazir. Amar Rav Tovi bar Kista Amar Shmuel. Lach Metoda shafanar b'chalot. Even though you're supposed to make 40 loaves, if you made them 4 loaves, which means you took one huge challah and one huge chametz and one etc. In other words, instead of breaking them into 10, you have 4 yatzah. It's yotze. But the obligation is to have 40. So the mitzvah, ideally, you have 40, but it's not market. Why a frusha true minai? But you have to separate 1/10 of each set and give it to the kohen. So you think that perhaps you'll take this huge loaf and cut off 1/10 and give it to the kohen after it's made? The Torah says, echad mikol korban, which means you have to give him a real piece, a real loaf. Shaloi tol parus, you can't give him a slice. So dafreshinu belisha, that you separate him in the middle of kneading. Okay, well, then it won't really be 4 chalot. So what it's going to be is 8 chalot, which is of each set, one huge and one small, one 9/10 and the other 1/10, and that's what you give to the kohen. Meitave, well, this will really work. If you make too many or too few chalot, and there's two ways to read ba and miyate, either it means you made them too big so there's fewer, or you made too many of them. Either way, if you didn't give the proper number of loaves, it's kasher. Chutz v'lachem panim v'chavitei kohen gadol v'lachem metoda zirut. The 4 hot ones that are in our Mishnah, where the numbers are defined, of either 12 or 10. There, you must stick to the numbers, and therefore you see lachem metoda must be 10 of each sort, which means 40, and not one of each sort, like Shmuel said, that would be b'diavad kasher. The answer is, hu de'amar... Kihai Tana. Shmuel holds like the following Tana. Tana, that the only two that are Ma'akev are the two that are 12. There are those who add in the other two, and Shmuel evidently hold that we don't follow the Ishomrim, and therefore it is kasher. Am Rav Huna, minchat ma'afeh she'afah chala achat. Minchat ma'afeh is supposed to be 10 chalot or 10 rikikin. If you made it one big chala, yatsa. My tama, matzot tiv. Matzot is written without a vav, so you can read it as matzat in this, as a singular. Rav Papa, tama nachtiv matzat, achtiv matzot lo, so if it said matzot with a vav, you would say that it must be 10, or at least more than one. In Lachmei Toda, it says Matzot, and Shmuel said, even though there it says Matzot, if you make one of each set, it's Yatzah, and it doesn't have to be plural. The answer is, hey, please, Rav Huna and Shmuel disagree about whether or not the word Matzot makes it automatically a requirement to be plural. Okay, the next Mishnah, HaOmer, and this we know, of course, because we saw the sixth parak before the seventh parak, but now you understand that this was earlier, that in the Mishnayot this comes earlier. HaOmer haya ba Yisaron mishalosh se'in. The Omer comes, a total of one Yisaron, out of three se'in. Three se'in, by the way, is one Efa, meaning 10 Esronot, which means you get 1/10 of the original amount is offered. Shtei Halechem, shtei Esronei mishalosh se'in. The Shtei Halechem, which comes 7 weeks later and is from wheat, where there's less junk in there, you get two esronim from the same amount, which means you get 1/5 of the original amount. And lechem apanim, which is done every week and done throughout the season, throughout the year, esrim v'arba esronim, esrim v'arba se'in, which means you're going to get 30% of the yield. So you go 10% for the omer, 20% for the shtei lechem, 30% of what you originally bring ends up being offered as the lechem apanim. So my time, why did the numbers change? Kevan de michadash ati misorin ati. The omer comes from the new grain and it's from seorin. Isaron muvchar lo ati l'mishol sin. You need three. Remember, Shmuel said you need five to get a good isaron out of it. Shtei alechem shtei esronot shlo sin. Why? Kevan michitin ati. Since the shtei alechem comes from wheat, I've got michadash ati. Even though it's the new grain and there might be more bran in there, shtei esronot ati l'mishol sin. You can still get 1/5 of a yield. A yield of 1/5. Lechem apanim, esrim v'arba esronot, esrim v'arba se'in. There you're getting 30%. My tama, kevad mechitin atu umiyashan atu, because it's coming from already older grain and it's wheat. So v'charat miseya, you can get a fully seron out of a seya. So therefore, for 24 esronot, you need 24 se'in, which again is 30%. Tana rabbanan, kol menachot shriba midat esronot, shmeit midat esronot isaron. If you put in too much or too little for the isaron, psulot, that's pasul, but ribam midat se'in shalano miyet midat se'in shalano sherot. If you started out with more or less, it doesn't matter. In other words, our Mishnah is giving us advice or describing what they used to do. But if they used five se'in or they used two se'in for the omer, but they were able to get an isaron out, that's fine. All we care about is the final product. We're just describing what they would typically use. Okay, ha'omer hayam minupeh b'shlosh esrei nafa. The omer, as we saw, went through 13 sieves or siftings. And again, because Shtei Alechem has less stuff in it, therefore it only needed 12, and Lechem Panim only 11. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo haya lehen kitzva. He says there was no set amount. Ela solot menupeh kol tzorkai emevi. You have to bring proper solot. Shenemar v'lekachta solot v'fita otan. Question is whether, because the pasuk Rabbi Shimon is invoking is about Lechem Panim, is that the only place he disagrees, or does he disagree about all three? There's machloket rishonim, Hashem menupeh kol tzorkai. In other words, according to that approach to Rabbi Shimon, he says there is no set number of siftings that you have to do. The main point is the final result, just as we said with the amount that you start with. Tana Rabbanan, bedaka begasa, bedaka begasa. Tana Kama says that the way that they would sift these 13 siftings is they would have, either according to one version of Rashi, they would have two sieves there. One was very thin, and that would get out all of the fine, fine dust, which really didn't belong there. And then they would use a gross one to get rid of the bran, the husk, and they'd keep going back and forth. And of course, in the first case, they would only keep what was on top. In the second case, only keep what was sifted out. Shimon Elazar, Omer, Shlosh Rei Nafot, Tayu Mikdash, there were 13 different sieves, Zulamala Mizu, Zulamala Mizu, each one narrower than the other. Elinah Kolet at Subin, the first one would get the bran, Tachna Kolet at Solet. And underneath would get the so would the bottom one would get the solet, and the idea was you just keep sifting more narrow. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo ayalem kitzva. Tan Rabbanan, solet vafita ota, mamed shenikachat solet. This is talking about lachmat panim now. You have to buy it from the market as flour already, meaning from the seller. Uminayin shafilu chitin, how do we know that even if you bought it as wheat, it's okay? Tamad lomar velakachta mikol makom. Buy it in any case. Yachol av fishar menachot kein, I might think this applies to other menachot. Tamad lomar ota. That only the velakachta ota. Right? Velakachta sod vafita ota. Mean only the lechem apanim allows for buying it as wheat as opposed to buying it as flour. We're used to seeing chisachon with a chaf, but chisachon, the idea that the Torah doesn't want us to spend too much money because lechem apanim is a much greater amount and is brought every week, and therefore wheat, which is much cheaper than flour, we are allowed to buy. What does that mean? The Torah cares about Am Yisrael's property and doesn't want us to waste too much. Where do we see an allusion that God is concerned with our financial wheel and doesn't want us to waste too much? When Hashem tells Moshe to hit the rock, or to talk to the rock, and Moshe hits the rock, he tells them, and you will feed Am Yisrael, also there, you'll give drink to Am Yisrael, and also to their flock, to their cattle. And so the idea is that Hashem is saying, I'm concerned that your cattle shouldn't die. And therefore, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with our financial sustenance and well-being and does not want us to overspend when not necessary. We have successfully concluded our study of the seventh parak. We'll begin our study of the eighth parak in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.